The message of Easter. Our first section was the birth as a child. Second, playful as pets. Third, aware as silence. And now, four, ascension. We all look at the word ascension as a rather mystical word, and we think of it as something rather mystical. And Ingeborg was just telling me that she has eaten a English muffin here, and it'll give her the strength to lift herself up in her ascension. And I said, no, that's not quite the way it works. Not quite the way it works, although it's what we think oftentimes. Ascension is when we have given ourselves over to good thoughts, good words, good deeds. When we have given ourselves over to unconditional love, when we've given ourselves over to being who we are, our divinity. Now, how can we give ourselves over to being our divinity? How can we give ourselves over to being who we are? I mean, how many of us know who we are? We think, like Ingeborg, that we can lift ourselves up with an English muffin. And it doesn't quite work that way, because that's only our physical body. And that's, she meant it as a joke, of course, but that's only just a charming concept. Nothing in the outer is going to lift us up on the inner. When Jesus was put in the tomb after his crucifixion, he was dead in physical body. They had taken the sword and stuck it in his side and let his body juices out and so on. He was dead. Okay. The physical body was dead. And Jesus obviously left the body and did whatever he did. Okay. So they took the body and they put it in the tomb. And in the tomb, they wrapped it in its cloth and laid it on the bench in the tomb and rolled a big stone against the door. It always amuses me how big stone it must have been. And it must have taken a couple of giants to roll that stone there, you know, because that's a stone of a big thing, you know, unless they had a small entrance to the cave. But that's logic talking, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And the pictures of it are always the stone. The cave is entrance is as big as a person standing up to walk in and out. You know, real cool. But okay, logic aside, you follow me?
Yeah.
Logic aside, in the tomb, Jesus had his body spiritualized. He dissolved, if you will, the human body and reformed it in its spiritual counterpart, which is probably what its original self is. The original body of Jesus was the spiritual body, okay? A spiritually manifest, total body of a regular adult, not a child, but an adult. See, Jesus was born an adult. Everyone is. Everyone has their spiritual adult body with them all of their life. Interesting idea, huh? And that spiritual adult body is always there. We may express it as the little child or the young adult and so on growing up, because that's what we like to do. That's the game we like to play. But the real total beingness is always there. Now, if you want to think of it as a physical reality, then it's difficult to conceive. But if you think of it as the spiritual concept, which is always there, and it's not so hard to conceive. We don't know what the word spiritual means, and so that way it's not too hard to conceive. But it's a spiritual concept. So the spiritual Jesus, the spiritual concept of this man who imbued and embodied and expressed the Christ, this body, this Christ spirit, was there all the time. So when the old body no longer was useful, it was gone. Returned to its original integrity. And the spiritual body took over. Now, the spiritual body did not need the atoms of earth for the illusion. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
It did not need the physicality of a human being to be present, because it is its reality. Now, when, as the story is told, the two women saw Jesus walking out of the tomb, they didn't recognize him. And of course, it's understandable they didn't recognize him, because they didn't know everybody, and he didn't know them. But they were there. And then when he went to the upper room, where all the disciples were supposed to be present, they didn't recognize him. He had to say, "I'm Jesus." And they say, "Yeah, sure, you are him." And doubting Thomas, he had to say, "Show me your holes. You know, you were just a stigmata, you know." And Jesus said, "Oh, shucks, I forgot. I should have included them, because then people could say yes. Because I do want people to believe that I'm here." You know? So he had Lazarus raised from the tomb after 3 days, because he wanted to make sure that people believed he was dead.
Mm-hmm.
So he had to have those stigmata in his spiritual illusion for the believers on earth. It wasn't his real self, but he had it there. And so he placed it there, and Thomas could say, "Oh yes, you are." Now, this is all a game. It's all a game. Now, can this be done?
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. Is this done? All the time. Do people come back?
Mm-hmm.
Would you recognize them if they came back? No. Because you knew them in their human form. You knew them with their human limitations. You knew them with their human outlook, you know. Maybe they had a beard, you know. Maybe whatever, you know. But the spiritual ideal form is not what the human was showing. If the human was showing the spiritual ideal form, then there'd be no need for ascension. But the human was not showing the spiritual form. It was showing parts of it, but not all of it, yeah. Okay? So, when our moment of ascension comes, and it comes to all of us, in fact, we ascend hundreds of times during our lifetime. You say, "Well, we do?" Sure. We ascend hundreds of times during our lifetime. Anytime we become so totally lost, as the phrase might go, so totally unaware of our human body, we are in our ascension. When we are so unaware of the world around us, we are just aware of pure love or pure happiness or bliss. Now, how many times have you been in bliss? More than you know. More than you know. How many times have the Buddha, we think, he was in bliss. How do we know? He told us. Yeah. The Buddha told us he was in bliss, so that's how we know he's in bliss. Well, have perhaps you had a chance to be in bliss, and you didn't want to say that you were in bliss because you thought it was presumptuous for you to say that? Well, you could, you know. No. How many times have we ascended? Many times. Many times we didn't stay ascended, though, because we were having too much fun in our human body. We were thinking our family missed us, you know, so we wanted to be back with them. We were thinking that, yeah, if we die, our family gets over it and goes on about their world. It has to, you know. That's just the way the human modus operandi goes. So people die, and then they come back, and boom, you know, you give them the old chest beat, and the heart starts beating again after they were gone. And they might have been gone quite a while, you know. And people get frozen in a lake, and they bring them out, you know, not too often, but they bring them out, and they bring them back to life, you know, because everything was in homeostasis, you know, status quo, and they bring them back. Now, they, too, were in a state of ascension. They, too, were in a state of bliss. And why did they come back? What a foolish thing to do, huh? Well, not necessarily. You come back because you enjoy it here. Now, are you making your life the most beautiful thing on earth by having it be an unconditional life, unconditionally loving life? Are you making your life such a wonderful non-judgmental thing, such an unpossessed thing, you know, so one-pointed in beauty, harmony, peace, love, and goodness? Wow! That's an ascension too. Now, we think ascension is leaving earth and going off into another dimension. And it isn't. Ascension is bliss. Ascension is when we are living in unconditional love so totally. It's so natural to us. It's so real to us. It is something that is our reality. It is who we are. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Then we are having ascended. And what a wonderful ascension it was. Now, was Jesus dead when he ascended? No. Was Jesus alive when he ascended? Yes. Was Jesus alive when he was dead? Yes. And it's true. He just took his essence out of the body. He no longer needed that body. And we all do that. We all take our essence out of this body. And sometimes we don't choose to leave, so we find another body to enter, you know, to go into. And this happens all the time. Science fiction is, not science fiction, but mystery and science has been written about this, the stories and movies and stuff like that, because it's a charming concept. Well, just remember this. No matter what you think, no matter what you say, no matter who you are, that is reality. No matter what you say, it happened or is happening somewhere. No matter what you're thinking about, somewhere it is truth. Somewhere it's expressing. No matter how vague or how outlandish or how crazy or wild may be your ideas, they are real. And no matter how evil or how good may be your concepts, they exist. Now, therefore, to wit, it is important for us to spend all of our time thinking about all things whatsoever are good, peaceful and joyful. Think about all these things that are beautiful. Think about all these things that are desirable. Think about all these things. And, hey, could you conceive of yourself thinking of every human being on the face of the earth being peace? Could you conceive of yourself thinking of every single person on the face of the earth living in bliss? Could you conceive of yourself thinking that every single person on the face of the earth is living in abundance, in perfect health, in harmony, peace, right action, truth, joy? Could you do that? No. Because you can't do it for yourself yet. And the minute you can do it for yourself, you will have the ascension. The minute you'll do it for yourself, you will see everybody else that way. And that's a gift, and I don't want to say this here, but I'm going to say it. You owe it to them. That's a gift you owe to yourself. That's a gift. It is yours. It's not a matter of owing it. And it's not a matter of being your birthright. It is being who you are. It is not something that to be revealed. It is what you are right now. It is what your revelation is right now. Mm-hmm. And this is your ascension. Your ascension is living in this allness, this wholeness, this purity, this goodness, this truth, this life, this love. This is what the Christ is all about. Mm-hmm. The Christ is our highest and greatest and most wonderful expression of who and what a human being is. Our Christ is not our divine nature. It is not our divinity. It is our humanity. Our divinity is without a label. You understand?
Yeah.
Our divinity cannot have a label. The minute our divinity has a label, it is limited. The Christ consciousness, which is a very high consciousness, is a very wonderful. That is our divinity. That is our humanness. When our humanness reaches that Christ level of awareness, poof, their ascension is ours. And in that ascension, what are we doing? In that ascension, we're living in that bliss all the time. We're like the drop of water in the ocean. We are the allness. We are indescribable one from another. Every good, bad, different, and there is no good and bad. There's no judgment. There's nothing to compare. You think one drop of water compares itself to another drop of water? Kind of futile to do such a thing, wouldn't it? Ludicrous. Now, why doesn't it judge between one drop of water and another? There's no uniqueness. You see, once they're all together, there's no uniqueness. And that's what bliss is. That's what ascension is. Ascension is all together. Ascension could be described as oneness, the isness, the allness. The ascension is absolute. So we might have, and of course we won't, but we might have University of Ascension, except they have many churches of the Ascension, because but they speak for a little different direction. And no directions are wrong. Our direction, my direction here, is just my own inspiration on this, and I believe it's true. And I believe that it's taking place among beings every day. And of all the billions of people on the face of the earth, we're fleshing them off, as we call death. I don't know what the percentage is, but we must do quite a few, billions, let's say a billion of you being killed off. Where are they going? They're not all going in the mixed master. They're going into the ascension. You know? They're moving in, and like we say, when people are missing and we can't find them, they quite well have ascended. Well, young children? Sure. Adults? Sure. Yeah. Now, how many missing people are found? I don't know a percentage, but I would imagine very few missing people are found. And that's why they don't make such a big fuss about it. And when you call the police department and tell them that someone's missing, they say, how long have they been gone? And they say, well, we can't do anything until it's been 24 hours or something like that, because we have to give them time to come back home again, or whatever, or time to really get lost. But it's a game. It's all a game we play. And we have such fun with that game. Are you ready to enter into a state of ascension? And don't shake your head yes right away, because I don't think you are. As long as you're possessed by your clothing, as long as you're possessed by your body, as long as you're possessed by your mind, you think you're smarter than somebody else and you know the right answer. And if I say, New York is south of Florida, and you'll say, Herb, you got your bubbles loose, you know, don't argue with me. If you could instantly say, Herb, New York is south of Florida. I can see that. It's right in the Caribbean, huh? Hey, that would be cool. Would New York love that? There'd be no winter, no snows, you know, no problems. You're right down there with Mr. Castro having a wonderful time. Probably have no whole new Cuba down there, yeah. Hey, New York City, and you can see it! This is what it takes. Now, there's no reality that New York is up where it is, or that's not where it is, or whatever. It's wherever we put it. Wherever we put it. And this is preparing you for ascension. Preparing you for letting go of the possession that New York is where it is, because that's where it is. It's so silly. And what's the name that they gave to the earth before the earth was what it is today? It's something like Gautama or something like that, you know. And then what happened when the tectonic plates were slipping all around on the earth as they were going down under the water and coming up out of the water and going here and going there, and Atlantis and Mu and all these other things? What is that all about? Now, if you and your infinity, or not in your finiteness of mind, would look at it, you'd say, hey, this is what it is. Yeah, but you look at it with your infinity of mind, and which means it's just like a kaleidoscope constantly changing, and you'd say, wow, hey, look at, here's where Mu is, now here it's over here, here's where America is, now it's over here, you know, and you see all this, and then whoosh, everybody on the face of the earth is washed off. The earth is just clear, the flood cleaned off the entire earth, and everything has changed, all the tectonic plates have changed, and then over a period of time the land builds up again and the grounds build up again and the property builds up, and then people populate the earth, and animals and plants and flowers and trees and fish and birds and reptiles, all these things come back, and then given another millennium and away they go, and off into another tectonic travelation of a plate or volcanic or whatever you want to call the silly thing. But if we, in our limited mind, look at it and say, it cannot be. New York cannot be south of Florida, you know? How limited we are! You're not God, because God could never say such a thing. God sees it all, and is it all. You understand me? You understand? Never correct me. Never change anything I say, because I'm saying it, not because I don't know the truth. I mean, I'm not stupid. I know that it's what I say. I know that it's what I say. So when I say San Francisco is south of Los Angeles, you know, you say, well, that's interesting. It wouldn't take us long to get there, then, would it? But you see, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. And well, what would the people up in San Francisco do where San Francisco used to be? They don't even know that it's missing. Mm-hmm. It's the most natural thing in the world for it to be wherever it is. I can tell you about spiritual healing. It's the most natural thing for spiritual healing to be, because in the ascension there is only the is. And if you want to conceive broken leg, you have broken leg. If you want to conceive perfect health, you have perfect health. Whatever illusion, whatever illumination, whatever attitude you want to take toward life, that's what you have. And in an ascension, you don't care. You're untouched. You're untouched. You're unpossessed by anything, by everything. You're the allness. You're the drop of water in the ocean. Or you're the ocean in the drop of water. You know? Life is just so thrilling and so wonderful and so exciting, and the contemplation of all of its possibilities, not possibilities, all of its realities, all of its beingnesses, yeah, all of its beingnesses, that is so exciting and so, I don't know, it's just uplifting. I don't, that to me is the message of Easter. The message of Easter is doing all that, which is being who we are, being the allness that we are, being the isness that we are, and thrilling to it. You know?
Nothing.
And doing everything that is just so, that makes life worth living, makes life worth being.
Super.
Are you ready for such a life?
Yeah.
Well, if you're ready for such a life, then that means that you get up and start shouting. You get up and start shouting that I am. I am that I am. Life is wonderful, right? Get up and get shouting and really take the point, who and what you are. Because you're pretty wonderful. You're pretty exciting. Now put that in your pipe and smoke it. And enjoy it and be it. And remember, you're fantastic. And I love you.
Love you.
I love you. I love you.
Love you. Love you.